have with us Rabbi Yochanan Bechaffer, who is the Av Bezdin of the Five Towns, Amud HaMishpat, Bezdin Lahira. This is a lengthy interview about Mesira, and it really needed its own time slot. It's a very contemporary interview, and I think you'll enjoy it. Let's go to our wonderful erudite Talmud Chacham.
Welcome, Rabbi Bechaffer.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Rabbi Bechaffer, there's been, recently in the news, a few very high-profile cases of Mesira, and we wanted to talk to you about what are the halachis of Mesira. And I just want to tell our listenership, I want to put a caveat on. These are lahagdol tayra lahadira, to discuss halacha. Before you enact something, please go ask your Orthodox rabbi, and not your garden rabbi, your garden variety Orthodox rabbi, because these are serious halachas. It's just to give our listenership a flavor of what the different shittas are. I just want to put that as a disclaimer.
Okay, if I could add a caveat of my own, I don't follow the news. I really don't know what's, you say they're high-profile cases. I'm very unschooled in any of the details, so I'm certainly not speaking about anybody in particular, because I'm not even sure of the particulars that you're referencing. And I'm also, just to echo your words, I'm only speaking, about textbook examples. I'm not talking about any particular real-life case, certainly not any type of current events.
Thank you. So, Rabbi Bechaffer, give us a little background. What is Mesira? What is its Makayer? And then we'll talk about it in America today.
Okay. The Isser in the Torah, if you ask what Avera have you done, it's the Isser of Lo Selech Rochil Ba'amecha. It's the same Isser as basically speaking Lashon Hara. That's the Lab in the Torah. That's the Aver that you've done, and as we will explain, there could be times that you're Potter Mitashlumin, but you've still done the Isser. As we're going to explain, so it has a tzad isur to it. It is a bona fide lav, and there's also there becomes a chiyuv tashlumin mitzad how you've caused hezek through the lashon hara that you spoke in front of those who will confiscate money or incarcerate the person because of what you said. It is the common understanding that it's dina de garmi, that this is type of, even though you would call it technically it's a secondary cause, but since it is done, it is vadai, it is going to happen surefire, and it is done with malice. So with garmi, we don dina de garmi, and therefore you're going to have to bear the consequences of the losses that you incurred on someone, that you caused them to suffer. Now, the textbook example, and this is why it gets tricky as far as America today, the textbook example is that you're moser la'anas, so first of all, by your own free will, not under duress, you a mobster. An anas is really a mobster, someone that's forcibly taking money. You hand it over someone, put him in his clutches, or informed him of assets, of money that there is for grabbing. So now this person unlawfully comes and takes it because of what you revealed to him, or incarcerates you because of how you handed him over to him by revealing whereabouts, or let alone if you physically handed him over there. And furthermore, in the classical textbook example, since we're dealing with a mobster, this could, even though it starts with money, it could wind up being life endangering. Because once you get in with these type of people, you don't know how you're going to get out. That's Lashon HaGemara. Once you get in, it's there's no getting out. They'll squeeze and squeeze more, and it could come to life endangering circumstances. So therefore, in the textbook example, in the days of yore, and that's what we're dealing with, and I guess the parallel to today, the perfect parallel, would be handing someone over to the mafia, the mob. Organized crime makes no difference if they're Jewish or if they're Gentile. That makes no difference. And you hang the person over to a mobster, and it could become, therefore, life endangering. Now, because of that factor, the latter factor. There's an issue of being allowed, to incapacitate the moiser, right, the informant, if necessary, take his life, but that's all in self-defense, which I'm sure the law in our day and age would condone if a person acts in self-defense. But again, this was in the classical case we're dealing with the mob, with an anas, and it could wind up, it could wind up with, God forbid, death. And therefore, they gave the moiser a din of a roides. Any questions so far?
No, but so let me ask you some of the more practical applications, because most people, even though that's the Gemara's example, you're referring, I imagine, to the Gemara and the Kuf Yud Zayin of Bava Kamma, but in a more contemporary example, let me roll a few examples by you, and you tell me how you as a Dayan would paskin.
Okay.
There is an individual who is molesting children or doing other indiscretions. He is raped or molested, etc. Would there be a heter in that case to give him to the government?
Okay. We have to break it down. First of all, a person is always allowed to act in self-defense, like the victim, for sure, is allowed to call the cops to protect themselves from any further harm. That's not a question. the victim does not even have to issue a warning and that's the halacha also by classical reidus. The nerdof doesn't have to warn the rodent that he will kill him in self-defense. The halacha of warning, which it's just a warning, and if there's time for it, that's on the third party coming from the outside. So now the proper procedure, if time allows, right? So even, like I said, in a classical case of rodent, if a guy is chasing you with a gun, right, a third party is supposed to, if there's the time and present mind, say stop or I'll shoot. But if there's no time or he's too in the heat of the moment, he doesn't have the present mind, he's allowed to shoot, and to stop an innocent person from being hurt. So the issue of stopping preventative, a person does not have to be victimized. There's no such halacha. A person is always allowed to defend themselves. A person does not have to. It's like if a person, a robber comes to, take away a Jewish person, is coming to steal from you, you're allowed to call the cops to abort the crime. A person does not ever, ever have to sit back and be victimized.
That's the Gemara. I believe you're referring to the halach of Avadin Eugenio Anafshei. The Gemara says he saw somebody stealing water from his. It was two shutfim. One was stealing water from the other.
Correct.
And he took a shovel and he hit him on the head.
That's right.
He didn't call a rabbi. He picked up a bat and hit him on the head.
No one ever has to sit and be victimized. No such thing. Chas v'shalom. Never ever.
I believe that's my. They've always asked me the same occurrence. I believe that's on my cotton daf Yud Zayin or so, if I remember. Okay, continue.
Okay. It's also Gemara and Hameniach like that. But now we're talking about it happened already. So we're not talking about the self-defense. We're talking about moving forward. If we're just talking about a event that happened and the proper procedure is to call the person to Beis Din and to go, have, if we can, deal with it our way. For instance, let me explain this for a second. Again, not to in any way, God forbid, mitigate the severity of the crime. But if the person will be compliant and go to Beis Din, you have to do that. And not just because of our calls. As Ramosha Feinstein has a tshuva, that they caught a guy, they knew who stole Sifrei Torah from a Beis Knesset. They knew who did it. And they wanted to hand him over to the authorities. And I'll explain what they were thinking is because he was Mazik a Rabim, and we're going to get back to that in a second, that the person who was a public menace, a threat to the public, we deal with much more severely than if he's shepherding just a individual. And Rav Moshe told him, since you know who he is, you have to try to take him to Din Torah. You can't just stop, give him over to the Malchus, to the authorities, because he's going to do jail time. In Halacha, we don't have jail time for theft. In Halacha, you just pay back what you stole. You give it back, and if you can't give back the thing itself, you give its equivalent value. If a person would be compliant to be judged, and have the Beis Din decide what should be done with him, hand him over to the authorities, and he will be punished in an oifen that's not consistent, with Din Torah. He'll get hurt or jailed, punished in a way that Halacha, never warranted it, never demanded such a penalty. So there is a problem with Sira, but that's talking about if he was compliant. And in that case, he was compliant. He was willing to go to Beis Din. And whatever Beis Din's, Paskin, he accepts, he's not going to be Masarif Ladin, and he'll accept the consequences. And he's compliant. And you hand him over to the authorities anyway. There is a real issue of Mesira on that. What he's going to suffer above and beyond what Din Torah would have ever meted out on him. Yes.
Rabbi Chava, that's Rav Moshe's opinion, but I believe that many Paiskim argue on that. And I believe that Rav Moshe brings a raya. He brings a raya from a Gemara. The Gemara says that Resh Lakish put a thief into Cheirim, and the thief said, he said, listen, you have a right to collect money from me, but you don't have a right to put me in Cheirim. That's above and beyond what the law calls for. And Chazal and the Gemara of Huna and Meri agreed that what Resh Lakish did was incorrect. That's Rav Moshe's proof. But there are many who disagree with Rav Moshe, and their argument would be is that since we live in a country that is Dina the Malchus Adina, so when somebody signs up for a crime, they're anticipating that, yes, they marry, they live here, they live according to the laws here. So whereas in the case of Rav Moshe, the case of Resh Lakish, there was no Dina the Malchusa, and I guess they just acted al pi din Torah. He was overreaching the boundaries. But Dina the Malchusa could argue and say, no, this is the appropriate punishment. And there's a Gemara that it's clearly not like Rav Moshe, because the Gemara says, in I believe it's in Bab Mitzi, and I think it's on Daf Pei Gimel, the Gemara says that Rabbi Elazar ben Rav Shimon used to give over thieves to the king, and the king would kill them. Now, clearly, it's not in any, there's certainly no halacha that a ganef gets killed, but since they lived in a kingdom that had those rules, people who stole understood the severity of the punishment, and they were accepted it. So, I just want to note that there are many.
I hear what you're saying. Now let me comment on that. So, the argument that you're posing, right, about the Dina de Malchusa. So now that is a very good argument vis-a-vis. Let me explain. So you handed him over, and he got punished above and beyond what halacha would say. It is a very valid argument, and I didn't get back to when we want to, if you ever did Mesira to a person, right, to God forbid, let's say a person did it and you were in the wrong. You shouldn't have been Mesira. Right, now what happened was the government took exactly what the law books say should be exacted from him. So even though you may have done wrong, if this could have been handled in Din Torah, you don't have to compensate him. Right, because how do you evaluate nezek, right? How do you evaluate damage done? What the government could have taken from you, you would have lost that money anyway. So let's just say, as an example, I'm not saying, we'll get back to taxes in a second, right? If a person informed and sent someone, informed on him on a tax evasion, and it was not done kedin, for whatever reason, we'll discuss that in a second. You don't have to, so even though you did wrong, you don't have to compensate that guy anything because he owed the government that money. So even if you did the Isur of Mesira, let's say, right, but the way we have to calculate the losses incurred is, it's losses incurred is money unjustly exacted, you know, taken from him. And if the Din of Malchusa says this is what is to be taken from him, it's not called unjustly exact. So you could, it's possible, like I said before, it's possible to be over the Isser, but not be Chayev Mamon, because that's what the government would want to take from him anyway, and Din of Malchusa Dina. So your argument may be that you may not, if you handed a person over and he suffered above and beyond the call of Halacha, right, so you're right, you could use that argument that you may not have to compensate him for how, you know, he has suffered above and beyond what the Halacha would have taken from him, but it doesn't mean you did the right thing if he was willing to go to Din Torah. Now, going back, you raised a very interesting point, Reb Lozer, Reb Shimon, and Reb Yishmol, that Gemara that we spoke of, that you mentioned just before. Now, there's a very important point. The Ritva says it over there, and it's a Tshuvas HaRashba that the Beis Yosef brings at the end of Simon Shin Pei Ches. These guys were bona fide law enforcement. They were out there at Hormana de Malka. They were designated. They were cops. They were designated as law enforcement people, and therefore they had to enforce the laws of the king. But
what would give them the right to enforce a law that's much more than Din Torah? In other words, they're enforcing a law for Geneva, and the person's getting executed. So if you can't enforce a law, especially right, where it's Misa, where that's neged Torah, how would they be allowed to?
Okay.
And the response to that is that since it's Din of the Malchusa, they were allowed to do it. So if we see that you're allowed to exceed the law... So the Ramesha, I'm saying the point of Ramesha that you can't exceed the law is certainly, you see from that Gemara is, so you would want to differentiate there. They were agents, here they weren't, but you see you can exceed the law. Once we break the rule of you can't exceed the law, the argument would be that you can exceed the law where it's Dina the Malchusa here too.
Okay, but you have to keep in mind the context over there, because they were agents of the government, they had Hormana the Malka, they were agents of the Malchus, so they acted appropriately because that's their job. You know, so a person can't be unless, again, there's no other way, right? A person can't be a self-appointed policeman. Let me explain. Let me go back. Reb Moshe has a different tshuva, and it could be. I seriously wonder whether Reb Moshe held whether that Gemara is to be taken lahalacha or not. Even though, like I said, there's a Ritva and a Tshuvas HaRashba, and by the way, both the Ritva and the Rashba qualify that even if the Malchus does things that are, we would consider, exaggerated from the perspective of Din Torah, right? But still, they're doing it, you know, for Leman HaSeder HaTov, you know, for the sake of keeping a lawful society. Right? They both write black on white that if the king is instituting immoral laws, like let's say persecution. Right, so on that, you know, they cannot be agents of the king. This is like where it exceeds Din Torah is also the Rishus of the Malchus and Din of the Malchusa that is binding, even if it goes and exceeds Din Torah. So if it's for the sake of civil order to keep a lawful society, if the king is corrupt and doing persecuting, they can't play. They can't go along with that. It's because these types of laws, even though they're a bit severe, therefore, keeping law and order, which is another important distinction. But Reb Moshe has a tshuva like this. Can a person, what I'm trying to say is, I wonder if Reb Moshe holds of that Gemara lahalacha, because, you know, the final word in the Gemara is that Eliyahu Navi told Rabbi Shmuel to run away. You know, be misalk yourself. Don't be involved in this type of profession anymore.
Yeah, but it's, the Beis Yosef brings it lahalacha.
Let me tell you. So I just want to tell you something. So that's the last. So the Miri brings from that, it's really not a profession for a Jewish boy. A person really should not want to, the Miri writes that. Really, a person should not want to take that job if he could avoid it, you know, as per what Eliyahu Navi told him to run away. So now there's both Rav Vosner and Rav Moshe wrote a tshuva on the same topic, and that was, can you work for the IRS? Rav Vosner wrote this tshuva to Rav Ephraim Greenblatt, the Rav Moshe Ephraim. And Rav Moshe also wrote this tshuva to someone else. And they're both dealing with the exact same shaila. You know, can you be an agent, or be an accountant, was the question. Work for the IRS, because you're going to bust people that are cheating on their taxes. Right? Fudging on their taxes. So Rav Vosner invokes the Gemara over there in Bava Metzia straight up. You know, he says, you know, it's you're working for the government, and it's a, it, you know, taxes is definitely dina malchus adina. You know, straight up mutter. Rav Moshe, on the other hand, you know, does not mention that Gemara at all. And he says, listen, you're an accountant. You're not a cop. And you're just making sure the books are correct. And it's rochok mod, she savav mizeh hezek. Because even if you're going to catch, you'll ask the guy, and the guy will explain himself, and you'll work it out. And it's rochok mod, that any type of hezek will come from it. Right? And therefore, he doesn't say that there should be a problem, you know, working for the IRS.
So you're saying there seems to be a machlekes between the later achrenim, whether that, even though the Beis Yosef brings it, whether we should use that Gemara lahalacha.
Yes, I mean, I'm sure, I seriously wonder whether Rav Moshe wants to use it, because he could have invoked that Gemara in that tshuva. Rav Vosner used it, Rav Moshe didn't.
Now, Rabbi Bechav, the Aruch HaShulchan takes the position that there is no Mesira period, Bezman Hazeh, in a just country.
Not only that, if you might as well say, he thanks Britain for colonizing Africa and bringing law and order over there, because Africa was a type of country where the laws of Mesira, you know.
So is it fair to say that according to the, and I believe that Tzitz Eliezer uses this lahalacha too, uses this, the Aruch HaShulchan. So I just want to go in order. So we have.
Okay. Yeah, no, but let's go with what you just mentioned. Now, that is strictly as far as the stringency that what we mentioned before, that a moiser is, you know, moed in vein malim, you know, and it can even be by the textbook example. And of course, we do dina malchus adina, and we only do what American law would allow us. But in the olden days, right, they, you know, Rav Kahana killed a guy because he said he was going to maser, and just on his saying that he's going to do it. Right, that was good enough, and Rav Kahana killed him. That's why Rav Kahana had to run off to Eretz Yisrael and learn by Rav Yochanan. So the din, that he has a din, roidus, v'nitan latzil benafsho, that's what, you know, it is not probable that in any way, if you hand a person over to the American authorities, that the person's life is in danger. He's probably safer and will be better treated in jail than in his own home. That's, you know, so it negates the stringency of a moiser, you know, being allowed, you know, in the textbook example, being allowed to even take his life or maim him if necessary. It has ramifications also that the textbook moiser, you know, he's posel le'edus and midoraisa, and the Sefer Torah tefillin that he writes are posel. You know, he can't take a shvu anymore. He loses all his ne'emonos, and from one of the achronim, I can't remember the name, slipped my mind. So he's done on it that if, you know, it is kenzain, that that which we say that he can't take a shvua and he's posulatus, that when it's the real textbook example that Mesira is really a chashash shlichus damim, it could lead there, right? So that's when he's mamash posul deiraisa. Right, but bismanenu, right, where we have a civilized country, civilized justice system, handing a person over to the legal authorities, not the mob. You know, handing over a person to the mob, right, is mesira mamish, like the textbook example, right, because they'll kill him. You know, that which they say there's no mesira bisman. They're talking about civilized, the legal authorities, right, that do things in a civilized, humane way, that there's no chash. A person who hands a person over to the mafia, that's mesira mamish. You're handing the person or his money over is endangering the life of the person. but going back to, handing a person over to the civil, you know, legal authorities, which handle things, you know, a civilized way, and there's no, you don't have to worry a person's safety, right? So is Ken Zayn that Bizman Hazeh is just like there's no din of nitan latzil benafsho, so also he may not be posel le'edus deiraisa, only midrabanan. I can't remember which sefer posits that, that wants to connect the two and make.
But Rabbi Bechafer, he says a pretty blanket lashon. He says there is no din mesira But he says, Al zeh soiviv ha'ilech kol dini maser u'malshin shebishas u'paiskim. It's talking about, he's saying, all the dinim of Masira have to do with a malchus shaydeid, but a malchus is not shaydeid, there is no din Masira, and the logic of the Aruch HaShulchan is we do not want rapists or molesters or thieves running around in the street, and the concept of Masira where they would throw wantonly Jewish people into jail for no reason, or like the Lashon Rishayim is, or the Achrayim is, they saw a Jew with money, they would figure out a way to kill him. But certainly, just like in Israel, or if we had a Malchus, they would throw people. In Israel, we want to have criminals in jail. So the same thing today, we want criminals in jail. And that seems to be what the Aruch Shulchan is saying, that in a just society, the court system is, he says it's the court system, and the Tzitzel is Maizu, he says, the Goyim have dinim, right? They have loud dinim ishes riyeyu chayim beloy. So the purpose of the court system is to keep the streets safe. And therefore, we have courts. And yes, there is no Masira if the purpose of the courts is to keep the streets safe. That seems to be the opinion of the Aruch HaShulchan as well as the Tzitzel Yezer. Would you disagree with that?
Again, it's because it is that the authorities deal, rationally and civilly, and you're not endangering a person's life. All right. So, but there still could be Masira in an ofen that it comes out garmi, right? That it could still be that that you cause a person an unwarranted loss, right? And that's not right, and you did it by handing him over, and so it's not mafkia the dina de garmi.
Right? Well, if the courts ruled, and the zina the mahusadina, why would it be garmi? You're doing what's legally so.
No, because again, if we're talking about a person tzayis dina. Or low tzayasin.
Either way.
No. So low tzayasin, you gotta go to Kintara. Aside from the problem of our coast, no one holds that it's mutter if a person is willing to be nidon by a bezdin and do whatever the bezdin says. There is no reason in the world, right, to hand them over.
Well, I think there is a reason. I disagree with you. I think that the batei dinim are not cut out to deal with criminals. They can deal with civil matters, but somebody who's a criminal, somebody who steals or robs or molests, etc., I mean, what are you going to do? Put them in your house, lock them up in the basement?
Okay, all right. Let's back up. Let's take this step by step. So the Poskim Taka say that just to talk about the broad sweeping thing, it's mefurish in the Poskim if there's a Jewish community where there is no basement. There just isn't. So, of course, they're forced to use the secular authorities because, like you say, a person doesn't have to sit back and be robbed and be victimized. Okay, now we're talking about if there is a bezdin. Now, if a person is tzayistina, right, a person is going to go to bezdin and he will do, and as whatever the dayanim mete out, especially at a time where Jews had autonomy in some kihilas. Right, so the Bezdin did have its own slammer, and sometimes they were Malka, and sometimes...
But what about today, Rabbi Bechaffer? Today we clearly don't have that in America.
Right. Okay.
So let me give you a case. You have somebody who molested somebody, or raped, or robbed, and he says, yeah, I'm willing to go to Bezdin. And Bezdin's going to say, you should never do it again, and he's going to say, I will not do it again. Well, do you feel that society would be safe with that?
A person who is a menace, right? You can maser. It's halacha and shulchan aruch, right? It's a meitzar l'rabin. The man is a public menace, right? So it doesn't take much,
You have a thief. You have a thief who's done it a few times. I mean, he's going to smile at the bed and say, "I'll never do it again," and he's going to do it again.
Of course. So any bezin will tell you. Right, you could put him away because he's not Sayestina. The question is like this: what gives you? Why are you so certain? This is the question, and any decent human being has to ask himself. Why are you so certain that you're dealing with a repeat offender? If you can answer that question, I will be the first one to tell you. Call the cops.
Is it possible? So, Rabbi Bechaffer, my point is: is it possible that Ramesha
who was very machmir on Mesira, and he held that even if the person is a tzayis dina, you do not send him to the report him to the court. Not so much as Mesira, but because he says you could be punishing him more than the halacha would allow. He doesn't mention the word Mesira. He just mentions the Gemara that says the story of Rish Lakish. Whereas the Tzitzel Yezer and the Aruch HaShulchan, who just say flat out, there is no din of Mesira Bizman Hazeh in a just society. The Raya that Ramesha brings, so the Raya of Ramesha brings, they would say Dina the Malchus Adina, and therefore, since this is the punishment that you would anticipate here, well, you live here, you accept the rules. Is it likely, or would you agree, possibly say that there is a machlekes, whether there is Mesira between Ramesha, and it's not just Ramesha, the Rebbe Yashiv in Kovetz Chuvis brings a case like this. He says that where there is that you would be able to give him over to court. He doesn't say the reason of this, but it could it be that Ramesha is more machmir than either of the above shitas?
No, I definitely think he is more machmir. And like I said,
you quoted from Bnei Brak. Rav Vazna, who also disagrees with Ramesha. So it seems Ramesha is the most machmir, and he doesn't accept the Gemara and Baba Metzia. He has his own raya for something. You have on one hand, you would have the Tzitzel Yezer, the Rav Epstein, the Aruch HaShulchan, who say there is none. On the other hand, you would have Rebbe Yashiv, and then you may have Shitas in the middle as well.
Yeah.
Now, Rabbi Berhafer, what would you say to somebody who is caught in a crime, was caught doing a crime, and they say, well, you know, you can give up your co-conspirators or get a lengthier and get some leniency in your system? Would there be any heta to be meiser in that case?
Look, step by step. The classical case of oinis that most Rishonim agree to and the way it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, that is onus that either they're threatening to kill you or also bodily harm, physical injury, is also called onus. Right? That's by the letter of the Mechaber and the Rambam. Now the Shach does invoke the other Rishonim, and he asserted that's the halacha that also onus machmas mamon. It also has a din of onus. Right? But that's all. So.
That's an outlier sheet. That's the outlier sheet. Everybody's masking in the first case, and it's outlier sheet during the second case.
Yeah, but fine. But even so, they were talking about I lost train of thought. What are we talking about again?
Somebody was caught doing a crime, and they said if you give over your co-conspirators, we will let you, we'll give you a more lenient sentence. Is he allowed to be meiser in that case? What's the halacha?
Yeah. So I don't think even according, so first of all, the onus, is like I said, what I began to say, is bodily harm. I don't think we're talking about that. So according to the...
Do you think that jail would be considered an onus, gahaguf or not?
Our jails? Now, look, it could be that you're talking about the Gulag, Siberia.
Or Rikers Island, you mean?
Yeah, so I don't know enough about Rikers Island. So now, this is a question of Metzias. I've never been on the inside of a jail, Baksha, and probably not all the jails are shoving. If we're talking about white-collar crime, right, I don't think he's in any type of physical danger. Right, it's very, very unpleasant. So one would think that it would be more daimet to onus mamon, right, than to onus haguf. In other words, it's going to be nefesh or maka. Now, I don't know what goes on. You tell me there's some prisons that, if you go in, you may not leave there alive. Then that's then we're dealing with onus, right? I agree, right? But here's the thing. That would all be good. Right.
So, Rabbi Bachav, you're saying if it's a jail where they can inflict bodily harm, you say that would be an einis haguf. Whereas
now,
if it's one of these white collar,
Otisville, where it's minimum security and there's no violent criminals in there, you say that would be considered Oynes Mamet and not Oynes Agos.
It would the simple knee jerk reaction would be to be medamet to Oynes Mamet, because I'm sure you lose a lot of money being locked up and not being able to work. In fact, you lock a person in a room, what do you owe him? Let's say you lock a person in, so you owe
him.
So
the Rosh, according to the Rosh, you chayiv Shevis, that's it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Shevis. So that's serious money. I mean, especially if it's over time. But here's the thing. Okay, Oynes means, right, that, in the halachas of Mesira, is that they're trying to coerce you, right, to hand over your friend, and that's their agenda over there, right? Over here, it's not that they're coercing you to hand over your friend. You're in your own trouble. You are in your own genuine trouble. They're not doing this to force you, right? You are in your own trouble. So if you're in your own trouble, right, it's mamish calling you to save you, get you out of your own personal predicament at the expense of someone else. Now, there's a Nimuke Yosef that's brought by the Poskim, that's also in the Siman, the Poskim bring it, Shin Peches. Right, you see danger coming, there's a flood, and it's going to, it's going to hit your field. So now you're allowed to build a barrier, right, stop the water hitting your field, even though it's going to now, because of the barrier, it's not going to go to you, but the water's got to go somewhere. So it's going to go to someone else's field. You're allowed to do that. But if the water is in your field already, you cannot be mefane the water and then be mazik someone else. When it's your problem, right, and just you could get out of your own problem by handing over someone else, that's not called einus. Right, that's called matzo atzmo b'mamon chavero, matzo atzmo b'chavero.
So you're saying that if somebody is caught doing something wrong and they say, listen, you want to get off? Take care of that guy for me. Do a whack job on the other guy for me. Be nice to him. You're saying that would not be called einus, but that's called matzal atzmo, basically beguf chaveri or b'mamon chaveri. That's how you would... Yeah, and in that case, there would be an Issa Masira.
Yes. Yeah, not Pascal Ochel Amase. But yes, that is it's your problem. You're using him to get out of your personal problem.
Now, what would you say if that person were to say that, according to the Paiskim, who Paskin like the Gemara and Baba Metzia, Pei Gimel,
yes,
and they say that if you're coming mitam amamuna malchus, right, can be meiser. He says, look, at this point that I'm caught, the government's telling me to turn on somebody else. At that point, I become an agent of the government. How would you respond to that?
Yeah, I actually thought about that today. It was on my mind. and I really don't know. First of all, is it even true? I mean, they give you cop status. Is it even true? I mean...
No, they certainly don't give you police status. They're just giving you
No, it's a deal. So that's the answer is absolutely not. That's going back, this is what I want to say before, and I wanted to make sure that our listeners get it clear. That Gemara and Bava Metzia, Rav Shimon and Rabbi Ishmael, as the Rajva and the Ritva say, they had privileges because they were cops. They were officially appointed by the Malkus, Hormana the Malka. And that's what I said before, that even if there's, I don't know if you accepted it, but what I was trying to articulate before was that even if there's Dina Malchus Adina, and if you master the guy, right, you will not have to reimburse him because he's only getting punished lefi what's on the law books and Dina Malchus Adina. So how do you, like I said, how do you estimate Nezek? Undue losses incurred, right, but this is a due loss because it's on the law books. Right, but you still did something wrong. You're not a cop. Now, I'm not talking about robbers and rapists that were trying to protect the public. It's halacha shocharach that a meitzel a rabim rasha lemosra. No, Oh, by the way, the Post can do say there, issue a warning. Now, by the way, a warning doesn't mean, you know, that, you know, a formal summons to Besdin necessarily, especially if time is of the essence. But, you know, in this day and age where everyone's got a cell phone, you know, you send a guy a text, you know, I know what you're up to, and you, if you don't stop, you know, it's curtains. Everyone could do that. And you know, I really don't, again, it's, I'm not trying to justify in any way criminal behavior, but, you know, a person has to live, you know, with the, you know, with, be at peace of mind that he didn't send a person that, I wouldn't call an innocent person, but a person who would have desisted once he warned and he was aware that other people are aware, right? You can't send that, you can't put that person away if he's indeed that type of person. So you got to shoot off that text, you got to shoot off that email. All right, like I said, even by real writers, you know.
So Rabbi Bechaver, you would say that he's not called an oinus, even of mammon. Then he's just trying to be matzalatzmai. So even according to the shach, that would be yasser. Is that correct?
Right.
Now let me ask you another case. According to the Tzitz Eliezer, that there is no mesira today, or according to the Aruch HaShulchan, would it be mata?
You know, again, the. I think you're taking it a little bit out of context. So let's see, what there is no mesira, do I understand it, is first and foremost. First and foremost, first of all, that solicitors understand, when they say no mesira, they mean to government authorities. The mob is mesira gemura. You know,
That's correct. In a just court system.
Just, right. All right, so let's make sure the listeners understand that. Okay. So now, again, that's why bizmanazeh, right? That's why bizmanazeh, you know, the meiser is not nitan latzilo ben nafsho, et cetera, et cetera. He's not morid in vein malin because the man, you know, what he might, the danger that he poses is not anything that's going to be life-threatening because the civil authorities, you know, they won't kill anybody for any type of thing that he may master for. All right, so now getting back to what we were saying, you know, so that's why there's, you know, there's not a din of moed and vein malin, and it could be also his psul as far as being an aide, right, or writing say may only be drabonin and not posul deraisa, right? You know, so I mean that's what it makes, but the when they say there's no mesira, right, they're not saying that the man could. Hand you over to the authorities when it was possible for you, you know, for that guy to go to Beis Din and be judged al pi din Torah. Right? And what they're talking about is, you know, so A, that there's no chi of misa on the meiser, and also there's the obviously as far as the criminals are concerned, right? So that always even when, you know, handing a person over to Malchus could lead, chas v'shalom, to you know, a person being not leaving their clutches alive. Right? But never, you know, when a person was a menace, it's halacha and shulchan, it's a meitzel rabim, rashayim lemosro. Now, the you know, the Be'er HaGola, you know, says that there was a takana that they made. Now, the problem is we don't have a body, we don't have unified kehilas anymore. Where, you know, there's a, you know, a strong Beis Din and Zayin Tuvei Eir, but back in the day when they had kilos, they used to make, you know, ground rules of when they could masses. Be'er HaGola says that they he knows kehilos that they made a takana that, you know, we master on anyone that's cheating, that takes the hakafa, buys on credit and has no intention to pay. You know, we master, and you know, because we have to show them that we're law-abiding citizens. You know, so there's something, you know, something like that. But you know, that, like he says, there was a takana of the kehila that allowed for that. I don't see that you're necessarily allowed to do a thing like that, right? Just because a person won't be killed by your handing him over.
Well, Rabbi Bechaver, thank you very much for clarifying this opinion with us, and we thank you for your time.
Okay.
All the best then, Kalta.